Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley McManus, Senior Director of Global Marketing at SmartEye. Welcome to the Human-Centric AI Podcast, where each episode we feature thought leaders doing cutting-edge work in the AI space. A little about us, SmartEye is the global leader in human insight AI, technology that understands, supports, and predicts human behavior in complex environments, bridging the gap between humans and machines for a safe and sustainable future. Affectiva, now a SmartEye company, has been a pioneering force in emotion AI for the last decade. Used by 26% of the Fortune Global 500 companies, 90% of the world's largest advertisers, and over 1,300 research organizations around the world, Affectiva truly stands at the forefront of decoding human emotions through technology, offering marketers and creatives an unparalleled understanding of audience engagement and feelings, shaping the future of compelling storytelling and impactful content creation. Marketers often talk about the art of storytelling, but how do they measure up to the experts in filmmaking? In a world where emotions drive engagement, Affectiva's Emotion AI database, with 80,000 pieces of advertising and entertainment content, provides unique insights. This technology reads between the lines, decoding facial expressions to understand audience engagement and the feelings in the moment of viewing. In a recent webinar hosted by Greenbook, our own Mitzi Lorenzen guided attendees through case studies and quantitative analyses, uncovering the role of emotions in driving key outcomes, such as advertising sales and box office success. Mitzi dove into the comparison between advertising and entertainment in invoking viewer emotion and the consequences that follow. She also covered the art of getting emotion right, when to use positive versus negative emotions, and how to tailor them to different genres or messages. Throughout the webinar event, she showcased practical applications beyond box office hits, illustrating how the tricks of narrative revealed by Emotion AI can drive attention and engagement across various industries. Let's listen in to learn more.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining the Greenbook and Affectiva webinar. Today, we're going to talk about Emotion AI and how you can boost your business outcomes with narrative insights. More specifically, by utilizing those emotional insights that we get from facial expressions. We're going to explore learning from Affectiva's Emotion AI database of 80,000 videos about the power of emotion in driving key business outcomes and how storytelling can play an integral role in creating that emotional connection with viewers. You know, marketers and advertisers often tout about themselves as brand storytellers, but how do they really stand up to the experts in the field, those that are the filmmakers and program makers of TV? And what can they learn about how to drive viewer attention and engagement from the Hollywood masters of the art? Today's session is going to shed unique insight by drawing upon learning from the Hollywood experts in the field of storytelling, who've tested thousands of videos using Affectiva's Emotion AI, including trailers, TV episodes, as well as short and full-length films. This is going to provide powerful lessons from Hollywood for market researchers, brand professionals, and creative strategists. So what themes are we going to uncover today? We're going to talk about the power of attention and emotion in terms of engaging viewers and building the memories that we want and impressions we want about our brands. How those relate to key business outcomes. What can we learn from the way that the entertainment industry leaders sells and tells their stories? We're going to put that into a little bit of action with some illustrative case examples, and then we're going to wrap up with some practical applications that are going to go beyond the box office hits. We know that Emotion AI has taught us a lot about the power of attention and emotion. So let's start off about looking at an ad to understand how well power attention work to really engage us into a brand and an ad. I think we can all agree that's a very powerful emotional storytelling ad that pays off for the brand. But before we get into the results, we want to just share a little bit about Affectiva Emotion AI. It's a technology that measures people's pre-conscious emotional response to content, looking at their facial expressions. Of course, people opt in and agree to be recorded and let their face be recorded for research purposes. But what this does is it helps us really read between the lines to truly understand if an audience is engaged and what they're feeling at specific moments by moments and different scenes throughout an ad. It gives us a really good insight in terms of their emotional reactions that can give us insights into creating more powerful and actionable content. And Affectiva AI is built with the world's largest and most diverse data set. After 12 years in business, Affectiva has the world's largest data repository with over 8 billion frames analyzed over time across 90 countries. So what that does is it gives us the foundational data for best-in-class algorithms trained on highly diverse data in terms of age, gender, ethnicity, and culture. That allows us to mitigate bias as well as provide relevant country benchmarks for the analysis. That's why Affectiva's technology is used by 90% of the world's biggest advertisers to test consumer engagement, not only with ads and videos, but also with entertainment content like trailers, TV programs, and films, both online and in theaters. In fact, we've tested 80,000 videos that provide learning and benchmarking to help assess and optimize content. So let's look at what Emotion AI told us about that amazing Amazon Joyride ad. I mean, we saw that it uses very emotive and effective storytelling. The brand plays a pivotal role and makes you feel very positive at the end. What we're looking at here is smiles in green, sentimentality in blue, and surprise in pink. And you can see that the story really unfolds as the women enjoy their journey and thinking about the winter wonderland and their childhood memories. We see that Amazon comes in and really saves the day. It plays that pivotal role in enabling them to go back to their childhood dreams when they're older in their life and have those sledding moments again. And it ends on a very positive note with people, leaving them feeling very joyful. It also taps into that sentimentality and surprise to really evoke those emotions that were intended. So it works so well as a really good storytelling ad that pays off for the brand. And in fact, we said that Lynn Deason, the head of creative excellence, also talked about this ad in terms of it works really well across all ages and genders. So we don't necessarily have to see ourselves in the ad to really have that emotional experience and have those positive feelings about the brand. We also saw that this ad performed really well. So, for example, it was in the top 20% in terms of enjoyment, the top 10% on humor, and the top 4% in terms of emotive playing an emotive story. So this is a great ad in terms of illustrating the power of attention and emotion. But the question is, how do attention and emotion relate to key business outcomes? Attention is getting, quote unquote, a lot of attention in the industry right now, and rightly so. But we don't want to lose sight of what goes beyond attention. So, of course, it's important for an ad to be viewable and for it to get and sustain attention. But we also know that emotion plays a critical role in building those engaging memories about a brand and also evoking and leading to action. It plays a critical role in so many parts of the process, from cueing people to get their attention, to helping sustain focus in the ad, to building and strengthening memories about a brand that we want to elicit, and to ultimately positively frame that brand. So when people are making decisions, whether that be now or in the future or experiencing the brand, they have a positive memory about that brand. And emotion plays a key role. We can also see that attention only goes so far. When we looked at work that we did with Kantar, where they were able to look at ads and their sales effectiveness, we can see that they've categorized them into low, average, and high. And while we see on the left that attention does play some role in terms of driving more effective advertising, we also see that emotion plays a much stronger role. And when we layer in things like emotion and attitudinal responses, we see even a stronger sales effect. Affectiva has further evidence that corroborates that facial reactions or emotions relate to sales and advertising motivation. So looking at the left-hand side here, Affectiva did some work with Mars that was presented at SMR, where they categorized their ads into the percentage of high-performing ads. And what we see is that across the top, where we've got more positive expressions, they had more ads that had a high-performing sales effect than those that elicited more negative expressions. Similarly, we did some of our own work where we had survey measures from advertising persuasion and our facial reactions, and we were able to see that facial reactions and that emotion are actually able to help predict advertising persuasion. There's a very strong correlation there. So we see that facial reactions do play a role in business outcomes. So that's all well and good, but how do we emotionally engage with consumers in a good way? Again, we've done some work with our partners at Kantar, and they've categorized ads into stories, or those that have more kind of that story arc and narrative versus those that are more sort of descriptive or vignettes and don't have a story. And what they found is that we have much stronger reactions in terms of story-driven ads in terms of emotional engagement. So stories can play a really good role in terms of emotionally engaging with people. Okay, so that's great. We know that attention and emotion in particular play a strong role in terms of key business outcomes. Stories can play a really strong role in helping us do that. But what can we learn from Hollywood? We stepped back and thought about, we've tested thousands of ads for entertainment. What can we learn from the world's greatest storytellers in terms of creating great content? But before we do this, it's of course important to think about how entertainment content differs from ads. Obviously, there's a lot of similarities, but there are some differences. So when we're looking at the entertainment content here in pink versus ads in yellow, we can see on the left-hand side that expressiveness or overall emotional engagement is stronger for entertainment content. Interestingly, we also see that valence or net positivity is lower for entertainment. And of course, that makes sense. Entertainment ads or entertainment trailers or full-length films or TV episodes, those are all really meant to entertain. So they are going to use positive and negative emotions, and they are going to tap into that emotional journey as they're telling the story. So it's not too surprising that we see both overall stronger emotional engagement, but that also comes from some negativity. That's further reflected when we look at the right-hand side of the chart here, focusing on the more individual facial expressions. So not too surprisingly, we see things like brow raise or surprise as being higher, brow furrow, which is really an indication of tension or concentration that we're often trying to build within a story, downturned mouth, which is indicative of sadness, things like confusion to kind of pull people in and create intrigue, and fear are coming through more strongly in entertainment. But we know that emotion works well for both entertainment and content. The question would be, we've got some great information about how do ads actually help drive sales in the marketplace? We had a question about, well, how does emotion actually play a good role in indicating box office success? So what we did is we looked at 119 cases from Affectiva's Affect database of movie trailers versus IMDb global box office sales. Now, not surprisingly, when we looked at the first thing, which is budget is by and far the number one best predictor of gross box office sales. But what was really interesting and meaningful is when we pulled in valence or net positivity on top of that, we saw that we could actually meaningfully improve that prediction of box office sales. So what's that telling us? It's the presence of positive reactions for entertainment and content in particular that can actually help drive further success in market. So how does that translate into dollars and cents? What we can see here is we looked at those movie trailers that formed in the top 25% on valence or net positivity versus the bottom 25%. And for a movie with an average budget of $91 million, we see an associated increase of almost $40 million in box office sales. I think that speaks for itself. So emotion can definitely help us in terms of driving further success. So that's great, but we want to understand a little bit more about what drives strong entertainment content. So looking at the thousands of ads and working with our partners in this area, we've learned about what really makes that strong entertainment content. So there are things like, as we already talked about, utilizing an emotionally engaging story, right? We want a story arc that builds and sustains attention. It can build tensions, right? So it can have things like highly dramatic moments or lots of exciting scenes going on. But the reality is you have to have some relief moments, right? So you've got to have tensions and reliefs. It shows the role of different characters and scenes and the different tensions between them, right? Again, so it will tap into some positive as well as negative emotional reactions. We want to have strong linkage to the title. Now, I know that's quite obvious, right? But one of the things, you know, particularly on things like trailers, it's important that, you know, it's often shown, the title's often shown at the end, but that's when sometimes we have viewers tune out. So you've got to make sure that that title is well integrated. And if you think about that, that applies to brands as well. Many of these things apply to brands, right? You want to make sure that that brand plays an integral role. We want to make sure that we're ending, leaving viewers the way that was intended. So, and that's going to vary a lot by different content and objectives. So if we think about that from an entertainment point of view, if you've got a movie trailer or a TV series trailer, you know, what you're going to want to do is end leaving people with that excitement and intrigue, like I must go see that content now. Versus if it's a full-length film or TV episode, we want to make sure that we've left people with some kind of resolution. If we're thinking about that for brands, it's more similar to trailers. We want to leave that intrigue, but we also want to have some kind of resolution for people because we want them to feel good about the brand. We want them to go out and try the brand. We want them, as they're using the brand, to bring up these wonderful memories and emotional connection that they have with the brand. And one of the things we can kind of really double click on is getting the emotion right for the genre and narrative. Hollywood does this really well. We've seen, you know, what drives a successful comedy is going to be different than what drives a successful drama, for example. So in a comedy, not too surprisingly, successful, it's ones that are successful really evoke more smiles and sometimes sentimentality. Versus a drama, you're going to evoke more brow furrow or tension and concentration, maybe some sadness there. Versus like a horror film, you also want those tensions, but you might want to evoke things like fear and surprise. So that's going to vary. And we want to make sure that we're thinking about the emotion we want to evoke and, you know, making sure it's not always going to be positive. So we can think about that in terms of advertising. Take pharma, for example. Generally, that's not going to be all about smiles and laughs. You may evoke some negative emotions, and that's what we want to do. But ultimately, in an ad, it makes it really important that you resolve those tensions and that the brand becomes the hero at the end and leaves people feeling really positive. Okay, so we've talked about the importance of attention and emotion, the role that storytelling can play, and we've got some learning from the entertainment industry. Let's put that in action and look at a few illustrative examples. So one thing we did is we tested the James Bond No Time to Die. Now, we invested in this to test just so we could get some learning about entertainment that we could show branded. We obviously, you know, aren't going to break client confidentiality here. And what you're going to be doing is we're going to be showing you an ad within the Affectiva dashboard, and you'll be able to see the emotional reactions as the ad plays. So when you're looking at it, you'll be seeing smiles in green, brow furrows in blue, and brow raise, which again is an indication of tension and concentration in pink. So with that, I'm going to play the ad and we'll come back and talk about the results. So what did we see? This was a great example of strong narrative storytelling using both more negative and positive emotions to really keep viewers engaged throughout the entire storyline. You can see that initially we started with a lot of brow furrow and kind of that tension that we were really intended. But we did pull in some like comic relief, like so they didn't recognize James Bond and his own organization, you know, generated a good smile. It went on to have some surprise where we see Bond's ex-lover show up unexpectedly. It goes on to have that tension and brow furrow as his arch enemy is revealing himself and all of the traumas that are going on with that. But that ultimately we end with all these great positive Bond-like action shots, you know, with the machine guns and the Aston Martin and all the wonderful things that we expect of Bond to leave viewers in a really positive place at the end of the film, at the end of the trailer. And what's really great about this is it keeps them very positively engaged when we're revealing the name of the trailer, which is when we often lose interest. So this is a great example of using that emotional journey and having building that those arcs and tensions with the scenes and characters and resolution in a very positive way. We want to look at that versus another movie trailer that we tested for research purposes called The Beast. This also is a very, it's a little bit different type of film in that it's suspense horror, but similar to Bond, it's also trying to use and encapture people with some of those negative emotions. So what I want to do is kind of explain the film a little bit so you can understand what's going on. One of the things before I do that, I want to just share is that we saw that we're not looking at the overall emotional expression here, but what we did see in terms of the overall emotional expression was that it was average. So it was good, but it wasn't great. It didn't have the emotional peaks and valleys that we found in Bond. It was more sort of kind of natural or neutral. And what we wanted to do here is look at attention specifically, because this was an interesting movie trailer in the sense that it starts off really nicely. It's about a dad taking his two daughters on this beautiful African safari in memory of their mother. They have all kinds of beautiful scenery and connections going on when somewhat unexpectedly and abruptly, we run into the Beast, who is a lion. And from there on, we see all kinds of scenes with the Beast and, you know, all the dangers that are happening and all the, you know, traumas and everything that's going on there. But the trouble with this film, with this movie trailer, is it just kind of went on and on and on with that. And it was really quite repetitive. So it didn't have kind of those reliefs that we saw in Bond. And so what happened is that over time, we can see that attention started to decline. And what we're looking at here is attention among those who would consider seeing the film in blue versus those in pink that would not consider seeing the film. And it particularly declined among those who were not considering seeing the film. The other thing to note is it ended with attention, with people being really kind of distracted in the final scene when we're showing the Beast and really where we're trying to encourage people to go see the movie. So overall, it was average in terms of its overall performance, but we would say that there could have been some opportunities to maybe provide a little bit more relief and less tedium of kind of those Beast scenes to really keep people a little bit more engaged. So we want to contrast that versus another film that we worked with the director Christian Wagner on. It's a short film called Three Pills. And he came to us because this is a sci-fi drama. And actually, I would encourage all of you to go watch it. It's a little bit long to show here, but it's pretty short. And it's really a very tense, kind of bleak storyline, kind of intense narrative. And so, you know, he really wanted to understand, he had a couple different soundtracks and he wanted to understand which one was really going to evoke the emotions that were intended. So he had an original soundtrack, which was really a lot more subdued. In fact, it was even quiet in a couple of the key scenes versus a soundtrack that had a lot more visceral sound to it. Now, given the bleak storyline of this and kind of, as I mentioned, intense narrative, brow furrow is the key emotional expression that we wanted to look at because we were really trying to create that tension and concentration. So when we look at the results at brow furrow, we see here that that new visceral soundtrack in green did a much better job of really emotionally engaging viewers versus the original soundtrack that's in gray. And particularly at the more desirable moments where we were trying to create more of emotional intensity, there's, again, you almost really need to see the film, but there's some like scanner that's going over a body and then later in the morgue going over the body. And the visceral sound is really pronounced there. And this worked so well in terms of creating the emotional feeling that we wanted people to take away. In fact, this enabled him to create the most emotionally powerful edit and went on to become a Berlin award-winning film. So it did a great job of using even negative emotions to work to create the feeling that we wanted. So now, once you watch Three Pillars, you understand it's not necessarily the most fun movie to watch, although it is quite good. But it shows that, along with other films that we've shown, that like success can work in a lot of different ways, and it depends on what you're trying to achieve. So we see that with Oscar nominees and blockbusters and how they work in very different ways. So U.S. blockbusters, for example, create a strong positive emotional reaction versus Oscar Best Picture nominees. They're both great, but they work in different ways. So if that, and it completely makes sense. So if we look at blockbusters, they tend to be more associated with joy and smiles and surprise and sentimentality. Of course, because they tend to be more fun or they have more action. They're really around creating storytelling and having engaging characters. So it really works in terms of creating that positive emotional reaction. But that's in contrast to the very successful Oscar nominees, which are really more about evoking sadness, right? And things like brow furrow and creating that tension. Again, Oscars tend to be a little bit more in the drama field. And we're really trying to kind of evoke sort of that negative feeling often, or, you know, pull in those, the characters and the sadness and the drama that's happening there. So both working in very different ways. So we've talked a lot about what emotion, you know, what emotion AI can tell us in terms of learning about the importance of attention and particularly emotion, the power of storytelling, understanding that narrative can play a really strong role in terms of engaging with viewers, and taking some learnings from Hollywood in terms of what makes an effective story. But what are the practical applications that go beyond box office hits? In other words, what can Hollywood teach marketers and advertisers in general? Well, one thing is attention is important, but emotion is key, right? We definitely need to make sure that we are capturing viewers' attention, we're sustaining it, but emotion plays a critical role in this, right? And it also helps sustain and build those memories that we're trying to evoke about a brand. It's very effective to utilize emotionally engaging story arcs, and don't be afraid to use tensions along the way, but we don't want sort of action scene or vignette after vignette. You have to provide some relief and let people be able to comprehend what's going on in the story and feel that emotional journey. We want to make sure that we're getting the emotion right. We're tailoring it to the intended message and narrative. It's fine and can often be very appropriate to use, you know, go into more negative emotional territory. But ultimately, for a brand, we'd say we generally want to, you know, resolve that and make the brand the hero and end making viewers feel positive. And that leaves us with leaving people with the desired feeling, right? So we generally want that positive resolution and feeling at the end. You know, we're wanting to evoke an intended response, right? And that could be anything from getting people to find out more information, to trying a product, to actually having them evoke memories and stories from the advertising when they're utilizing a product and feeling, you know, getting that feeling, emotional connection with the brand. Ultimately, we don't want to forget the basics, right? The brand has to play an integral role. We want the brand to be the hero. When possible, we want to convey new news where it's relevant. People love new news. You want to do things like keep the message simple. You don't want to make it so complicated that people tune out. So we've taught you a lot about powerful storytelling and lessons from Hollywood along the way, but we hope that we've shown you that emotion AI can help boost business outcomes. It can work to validate performance and benchmark effectiveness. It can help us understand, is an ad working to engage people in the way that we want them to? Is it doing that in the way that we intended? So is it trying to convey more sadness or smiles and help us understand, you know, what really means success? It helps us assess engagement with characters and story flow. What's working? Is the emotional journey working as we intended? Are they engaging with different scenes or characters? You know, how well are those working? Are there areas that could be optimized or, you know, could be clarified because they're confused? Are viewers emotionally engaged with the branding moments and cues? Because ultimately, we really want to optimize our communication. We want to be able to utilize that feedback to identify the scenes that are emotionally engaging, the characters, so we can optimize that narrative. And we can use elements of that narrative across our campaign to really help further tell our story. We can also use it to understand how different audiences respond and react to the communications so we can target them most effectively to each audience. So we hope that we've given you some new insights and learning along the way from the expert Hollywood storytellers that can be applied across ads, campaigns, and entertainment content so that you can boost your business outcome. We've got our contact information here. We're also going to put it in chat for your reference. But for now, I think what we want to do is open the floor for questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Mitzi. We're also going to have Graham from Affectiva come back on for the Q&A. But to kick things off, you said positive emotion works best, but also to target the right emotion for the message. My brand isn't necessarily a fun market, so should I be trying to evoke happiness?
Great question. So what we would say there is, you know, obviously you need to do the early work to understand the emotion that's going to resonate most with your audience and then convey that emotion with your storytelling. So it doesn't always have to be positive. Again, like we think about pharma ads, of course, some of them are happy and funny, but generally, you know, you're getting into like more serious territory and you want to reflect that tone, and that's perfect. But ultimately, what you want to do is end in a positive way and making people feel positive and the brand playing the hero to bring them that positive emotional connection with the brand.
Is there a big difference between movies and ads in that movies aren't trying to sell a product? So is learning from Hollywood relevant?
You know, if you think about it, a movie is about heroes and tension and conflict and the hero really being the person starring in the film or the TV episode, right? Well, if I think about that in terms of advertising, the brand is our hero, right? So if done effectively, the brand can come in and play the hero, resolve the conflicts, and live my life happily ever after, right? To be a little bit, you know, exaggerating there. But I think that there is a lot of common currency between the two, and that effective storytelling can work so well in terms of ads to create that connection for the brand.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with that. I think the, you know, an ad is, I guess, if you like, an opportunity to create a little drama about your brand to make it that hero. And so I think, you know, looking at the way, you know, entertainment content is structured and the way they tell stories, I think can be a really interesting guide. Certainly, you know, we see that those ads that have a narrative that tell a story rather than just present facts really do seem to be more engaging and draw people in more and have a more lasting impact as a result. So, yeah, they may not be quite the same thing, but there's a lot of useful learning, I think, about how entertainment content is structured to tell a great story.
So we've talked a lot about storytelling, and we know that narrative is so important, but most ads only get attention for a few seconds. So how can you tell a story in that time?
Another great question. I think there's a few things we want to think about here, right? So first of all, a really engaging ad will keep viewers through to the end. And we've seen that, you know, you can have 3 minutes, even longer ads that people are very emotionally engaged with. But the reality is, you know, an ad, oftentimes people will stop watching it early on. But I think you can use that emotionally engaging story across many different platforms, right? So number one, you want to make your ad as engaging as possible and make the brand play a key role. But number two, you want to take that narrative across your different channels and platforms, and you can tell that story in snippets, right? So that you can still get snippets of that story to build upon your brand and make your brand even stronger over time.
It's interesting to think about it almost as you know, longer narratives clearly are going to work in ad formats that and media formats that are less easy to skip. And so you can kind of tell your story there, but there's nothing to stop you then kind of, you know, I guess, queuing that in shorter format ads and shorter media where you can at least kind of remind people of the of aspects of the narrative in those formats. So, you know, when you take a multi-channel view of this, there's, you know, you can take the same narrative and express it in different forms and echo it in different forms across different media with different lengths.
Do you ever work with product teams, for example, to understand the emotional user journey during online browsing and checkout?
Shall I take that one? I think it's something that we do on occasion. We probably do a little more work in the more kind of traditional ad space and entertainment content space. But certainly, yes, it's possible to kind of understand the moments of frustration, shall we say, with emotion AI that people may come across on the journey. So there's clearly, I would say, we tend to see a little bit more negative emotion in those cases than we do when it comes to entertainment content, let's say. But yeah, it's perfectly possible to do. You just tend to have a more kind of often a kind of smaller sample size and more qualitative approach to the analysis because you have a very different user experience for each individual.
When looking at stimuli, people usually feel 4 to 5 emotions at the same time. Do you measure the complex emotions as well?
So we are able to pick up multiple emotions. As you could see, you know, from some of the charts that we were showing, we are actually pick up 30 different based over 30 different classifiers. We don't tend to show all those at once. But yeah, we are able to pick up multiple emotions at a time when people are reacting to something. I don't know, Graham, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I think there's lots of potential signals there. And if different parts of the audience are reacting in different ways, then yeah, you definitely can see, kind of multiple signals at once. I mean, obviously there are certain expressions that are difficult to pull simultaneously. So it's very hard for the same person to look surprised and angry because the eyebrows have to go in a different direction in each case. But that said, there are some of the things that we look at. For instance, we have a measure of whether people are feeling sentimental or not, and that actually works by looking for exactly these sorts of kind of conflicted faces, where you see some positive signals and some negative signals, because a kind of a sentimental story is often you can almost characterize it as like kind of a happy sadness, right? There's a it's a feel good moment, but there's often some moments of element of pathos to it. So yeah, you can absolutely see cases where you have some apparently conflicting expressions, but which actually can mean something quite interesting.
As technology and audience behaviors evolve, how do you envision the role of emotion AI in the entertainment industry changing in the coming years?
Graham, do you want to start out with that one?
That is really interesting. I mean, I think, well, I would hope for a start, it offers an opportunity for a more direct measurement of audience engagement. So, here you have a technology that is, that doesn't require people to do anything other than watch the content. So they don't have to think about how they feel. They don't have to kind of remember how they felt then when asked questions afterwards. So absolutely those things are very valuable as well. But as a kind of in the moment gauge of, okay, well, what really triggered people's responses, you have a really interesting technology here that doesn't really require people to do anything other than, consent to the process. So I would hope that studios and streamers and so on, encounter this more, that they will kind of see the benefit of that more naturalistic approach to measuring audience reaction. Clearly, as more technologies in our houses, there's going to be more opportunities in a sense for this technology to be used. We know, for instance, that there are media businesses that measure people's attention while they browse, for instance, again, with consent. You could absolutely see this kind of technology being deployed in those kind of scenarios as well. So I would hope that as, I think we'll get to an interesting juncture where, potentially more content is being created more automatically, but I actually don't think we get to a point where you can use those algorithms to work out how good something will be, particularly if it's novel. So, kind of quick, easy audience feedback, I think, actually becomes a really important part of, a more algorithm-driven entertainment industry. And hopefully this will be part of the practice moving forward.
Great. Thank you both for such a thoughtful presentation. And thank you, Graham, for hopping on for the Q&A. It was great to see you on here. But with that, I hope you all have a really great Thursday. And thank you again.
Great. Thank you.
I thought marketers and creatives alike were able to gain some really profound insights from this presentation, which for me really uncovered the nuanced role of emotions in driving key outcomes such as advertising sales and box office performance. Both Mitzi and Graham's expertise at the end especially provided actionable strategies, empowering attendees to craft compelling narratives that captivate audiences and drive success in a dynamic and ever-evolving landscape. To really experience the full event, including the ads that were played and some really compelling data visualizations, definitely check out the link to the full webinar recording in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the Human-Centric AI podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes. We're also on social media, so please reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram to share any feedback you have on the show and weigh in on the discussion using hashtag Human-Centric AI Podcast. Don't forget to rate us and comment with your feedback to help make the podcast more discoverable for others. Until next time, thanks for listening.